Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way Monday. If you have opened our message tonight from archived or digital source, we want to remind you we're on a live teleconference meeting, and that means that people will be calling in from all over the globe, and we want to give them a few minutes to get here and get settled before we start our message. And anytime you want to join us on our conference, you would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. You can find out more about Freedom's Way and ways at freedomswayministries.com. Anybody that would like to say hello before we get started, now is a good time to do that.
Hello, it's Marie.
Hi, Marie. Welcome.
In the city is Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Glad you made it.
And hey, Marie. Just saw you.
She might have muted her phone already, Kyle. Anybody else want to say hello?
Good evening from Steve and Cindy.
Yay! Missed you last week, Cindy. Glad you're back.
That overrated thing called work.
Oh, my. My mother had a T-shirt that said, "Work fascinates me. I can sit and watch it for hours."
That's cute. That's the price you pay for going away for a little while, but all good.
Yeah, that's true. Who else wants to say hello?
Hello?
She broke
in. Hi there.
Are you all tonight?
Can't speak for everyone, but Phil and I are fit and fine.
Right.
Fit and fine.
Let's say hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Is that Kathy?
Hi, it's Kathy. Yes.
Okay. And who was that other person? Was that Becky?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay.
Welcome, welcome. Yeah.
Thank
hello,
you.
Hello.
Hi, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Miss Vicky. How you? Hey, that's Phil. Hello, everybody. Hello, hello. I got my beautiful wife here with me, too.
Oh,
hi.
I like that description of fine and fit. I like that one. Fit and fine. Fit and fine.
Hallelujah.
Is that Miss Claudia in there?
Yep.
I am.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
And that's our kitty cat in here talking to everybody, too. She's on the line, too.
Oh, that's neat.
I tried to get her to holler real loud. She's in a low cat mode right now. She gets kind of loud sometimes. Well, I'm gonna mute
okay.
That,
woo. Anybody else want to say hello? Before I mute your phones. Oh. If not.
I'm on vacation, so I'm not on the road. I'm here with Dwighty.
Ooh, all right. Okay, I'm going to fit. I mean, fit. I'm going to. I'm going to fit you all tonight with a great message. I'm going to mute your telephones. Just hold on. Anybody that's new on the line, what that means is you can make noise in your background and it will not disturb any other line. And you'll still be able to hear us. Okay, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Welcome, welcome. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki, and we are Freedom's Way Ministries. Most of you know us. Our mission is to help you come into your true and full identity in Christ Jesus, as God has created you to be. And anything we can do in that area, well, of course, with that comes benefits, benefit of kingdom living, kingdom authority. Anything we can do to help you achieve that goal in your personal life, we are glad to do it. So we're happy you're here tonight. We have a powerful message. These messages are important in growing in the Lord and shining His glory through you, wherever you go. Hallelujah. So anything, again, we are here for you. The message tonight is from Vicki's new book. And we are on chapter
11.
Ooh, it's going fast. So buckle your seatbelts. You're going to be blessed. And I'm going to pray us in and get us started. Hallelujah. God bless you as you hear. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the anointing on your word. Thank you, Lord, that your power, your glory is transmitted through your word through us. And we are thankful to receive. We give you all the honor and the glory for it. God, you are good. Lord, I just ask a special anointing on the word that you touch your people tonight in a special way, that they will be blessed and feel your tangible presence in your word. And Lord, I just thank you in the name of Jesus. I turn aside any assignment from hell that would try to interject, interlope, blunt this word, defract the power of this word. Yeah, all those things. You are bound in the name of Jesus. We say again, Holy Spirit, have your way tonight with your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. As Phil said, we are going to be producing another book. It is titled Higher Faith, Greater Power, Deeper Peace. We all want those things. And this is chapter 11, titled Steps to Gaining the Confidence of God. Steps to Gaining the Confidence of God. Oof, hallelujah, I can't wait to hear it. You know, faith is busy changing our focus from ourselves to God, from self to God. Our focus in the realm of truth and higher faith is now on the Lord Christ Jesus and what He did, not on me and what I failed to do. We enjoy an amazing covenant with God Almighty because of the blood of Christ. And we're seeing that this covenant extends beyond our own private little circle of need. The next question we should ask is simple, but it is loaded. We call ourselves believers, but have we believed? Because our faith is founded on the integrity of a person, Jesus Christ, who cannot lie, we must turn our thoughts to Jesus and His strength, not our worldly circumstance and our weaknesses. Hope you got that. Our faith is founded on the integrity of a person, Christ Jesus, who cannot lie. So we turn our thoughts to Jesus and his strength, not on our worldly circumstance and our weaknesses. So let me restate the question. Have we believed? It's a kingdom-minded question. Jesus talked about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And he gave us a few parables from which to learn about this kingdom and our place in it. We want to make it simple because it is, and it is easy to understand. Some people say, whoa, it's not so easy. You know, that is because religion wants to complicate things. That was an aside. Hallelujah. So we're going to make it easy. Easy to understand. Because religion has complicated matters for a long time. The word kingdom denotes a place of rulership of a king or kings. That would be you and me as born-again believers. Heaven is the realm of happiness, power, and eternity. So the kingdom of heaven is a place where we're supposed to be ruling. Ruling in power. Happiness. Happiness is the place. The realm of happiness, power, and eternity. We should be ruling in happiness and power eternally. Wow. Thank you, Lord. That place is not reserved for some future time, and that place is not in another dimension that we cannot touch or see or taste or smell or hear until we die. The kingdom of heaven is to be here in this realm and now in this time.
Amen. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So look at this reference to the kingdom of heaven in Matthew in chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all he has and buys that field. In these verses, Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven a treasure concealed. It is a treasure so valuable that a man would give up everything he has to buy it. God calls us his peculiar treasure. He laid down everything he had and bought us with his own life.
Wow.
We are the kingdom of heaven, or at least the gates through which this realm flows into the earth. The rulership of Jesus Christ comes through us, bringing happiness, power, and eternity. It's that simple. Psalms chapter 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Think about that. Once we know we are the gates between heaven and earth, we begin to realize we are to bring that realm of truth into reality. We are to show forth happiness, power, and eternity. The kingdom of heaven. This is the result every time we allow Jesus Christ to reign through us in our situations and circumstances. It takes his faith in us to accomplish bringing heaven to earth. And there are four things which will give us God's kind of confidence. This may seem very similar to things already mentioned, but open your heart to receive more truth as the Holy Spirit speaks beyond these words and directly to you.
Amen. Amen. Okay, first of the four things which gives us God's confidence is prayer. There is much written and taught about prayer, and that is because it's vital in the life of a believer. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. Our prayer life is perhaps the foremost aspect of moving in God's higher faith with his confidence and not our own. Basically, prayer is communication with God. But it isn't the kind of communication such as you'd have with the IRS defending yourself. Well, you know, I wouldn't have done that if this other thing hadn't happened. Or the kind of conversation you'd have with the trustee of your inheritance. I need a new car, so make the check out to ABC Auto for such and such amount. Or the kind of communication you'd have in a battle of scar wars with your friends. My hurt's bigger than your hurt. You just don't understand all the hard things I've been through. That's not the kind of communication we're talking about. Communicating with God through prayer is not meant to be a gripe session on our part or a grumbling and complaint marathon. It is not meant to be a time for judging others and directing God how to deal with them. It is not meant to be a time of justifying yourself or telling God to make somebody respond in a situation the way we want them to or think that they should. It's not meant to be a time of providing God a laundry list of services we want him to perform or a shopping list of goods we feel we deserve to have. An effective prayer life is when we live, not just one we talk about. Our conversations with God need to be sprinkled liberally with gratitude to the Lord, with heart praise and worship, and with recognition of his greatness and his mercy. This is not because he needs to hear it, but because we need to be reminded of his vast greatness and boundless goodness. Our prayers need to center in and around the Word of God by sending back to the Lord something he can respond to, something which agrees with his plan and purposes in the earth. We will soon find the confidence of God in our prayers and the host of heaven in our lives, supporting and performing those prayers. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen. So next, in our four steps to gaining God's confidence and moving in his higher faith, is fellowship with God. You can't truly love someone you don't know, and you can't really know someone you don't spend time with. Fellowship is vital in a healthy relationship. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with God the Father and with his Son, Christ Jesus. God the Father called Abraham his friend, and he calls us friends also. How do we treat our friends? Well, unfortunately, most of us are more loving and respectful to a stranger than we are to a friend. I mean, we might blow up and get angry and allow the devil to bring division and strife in the presence of friends or with friends because, well, hey, they're friends, they can take it. We expect more from friends, and that's okay as long as we're not expecting them to take more abuse from us just because they're friends. Those kind of friendships are eventually lost to the world. Nobody wants to spend time with people whose main topic of conversation is themselves either. And nobody wants to spend time with those who always want to direct the activities. It gets very tedious to listen to complaining, gossip, and me conversations. Friendships are not meant to be one-sided, where one is expected to be and do everything for the other one. But there is no reciprocal love where there is no reciprocal love and attention. Just be there for me and I'll be your friend. Do things my way and I'll be your friend. Let me call the shots and I'll be your friend.
You are all thinking of someone, and I hope it's not you. Okay, I think you're beginning to understand what we're trying to say here. God calls us friends, but what does that relationship look like from our point of view? Without true friendship, without true fellowship, friendship is not true friendship. Without true fellowship, friendship is not true friendship. True friendship is spending time in the presence of another person just because you want to, not because there's some kind of benefit in it for you. Friends make themselves available to and for each other, not just in difficult times, but in good times too. True friends are forgiving, but at the same time, they show one another love and respect, so they seldom need to be forgiven. True friends serve each other first. I will say that again. True friends serve each other first. Isaiah 41:8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. 2 Chronicles 20:7. Are not you our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? In these two verses, the word friend means to love. Proverbs 17 tells us a friend loves at all times. If you're not sure what that kind of fellowship is, remember this. Love benefits others at the sacrifice of self. Love benefits others at the sacrifice of self. Jesus said to his friends, Jesus said his friends are those who do as he commanded. It isn't always convenient or pleasant to us to follow Jesus. It can be hard, but true friendship and genuine fellowship is self-sacrificing.
We're going to the book of John, chapter 15, verses 8 through 17. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Hallelujah. Loving one another requires that we make the sacrifice of self in every situation, preferring another over ourselves, and even rejoicing in the blessings and successes of other people. Hallelujah. Loving one another requires that we make the sacrifices of self in every situation, preferring another over ourselves, and even rejoicing in the blessings and successes of other people.
Yes.
That is being a friend of God. Doing what Jesus did and is doing even now, loving and forgiving others. These are the actions and attitudes which will ensure us a fellowship with God. If we walk in the ways of the world, we will be out of fellowship with God. Scripture is very clear that we can't befriend the world and God at the same time. If we waffle back and forth, in and out, tiptoeing around the world's pond in compromise and complacency toward our true friend, Christ Jesus, it's probable we'll fall into that worldly cesspool eventually. Friendship with the world is a form of idolatry, which is considered spiritual adultery. James 4 and 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
The third thing we can use to gain God's confidence is constant meditation in and on the Word. Last week, we said the Word and Jesus are one. So, time spent in the Word of God can be likened to a face-to-face visit with the Lord Christ Jesus. It's awesome, and it builds us up in higher levels of faith. And as if that isn't enough, it also assures us prosperity. Joshua 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Thank you for that word, Lord. You know, if that doesn't make you want to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, I don't know what will. Praise the Lord forever.
Finally, having God's confidence comes from another thing already mentioned, and that is praise. constant and continual praise to God is a sure way to gain higher faith, with the added bonus of having inner peace thrown in. It's just as easy to praise God when things are in turmoil as it is to fall apart in fear and stress. It's also a lot more productive to praise God. Help us all, Lord.
It's just as easy to praise Him as it is to fall apart. Probably easier.
No, amen. Psalms 50:23. Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. God responds to our praise. Again, this is not because he's some egomaniac who thrives on being worshipped. It's because he can see by our praise of him that we know him and that we trust him to handle things for us. Praise glorifies God in us, which causes our spirit man to rise up and clear our minds of hell's deception. Lord, we need that today. With a clear mind, we can order our conversation, which means plot our course of action. This speaks of our very lifestyle. As we order our conversation aright, God will show himself mighty to save on our behalf. Through our praises, God will maintain our right and our cause.
Thank you, Lord.
Psalms 9, verses 1 through 4, to the chief musician upon Muthlaban, a psalm of David. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O you most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat in the throne, judging right.
Thank you, Lord. So these four things, constant prayer, true fellowship, meditating on the word, and praising God in all circumstances, will take us into God's higher faith. They enable us to have the kind of confidence God has, the confidence that created the universe by a word, light be, and there was light. God didn't say, light be, and then say, hey, where's the light? What happened? Holy Spirit, what went wrong here? Come on, light, please. Please be. Here, light. 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 Come on, little light. God's confidence. God's faith. That's what we have available. So let's develop and use it. Amen.
Now, we'd like to say just a little about unbelief and how to recognize it. Many of you may be thinking, I don't have a problem recognizing unbelief. But believe me, unbelief can be very subtle. Basically, there are two kinds of unbelief. One stems from a lack of knowledge or having wrong information. The other comes from disobedience. In the area of lack of knowledge, we have these two things. First, unbelief is allowed to reign because we just have not been exposed to truth. Second, unbelief is allowed to reign because we've been taught a half-truth or maybe even an outright lie. When we believe the lie, we can't believe the truth. So we have to ask ourselves, if what I've been taught is not true or is incomplete, do I really want to know the truth?
That sounds like a silly question, doesn't it? Do I really want to know the truth? Our first reaction to that question is, of course I want to know the truth. However, when truth bumps into our theology, kicks over our traditions, and makes barbecue out of the sacred cows of our childhood and in our families, it's hard to take. Truth carries responsibility, and responsibility can be really heavy sometimes. We end up having to give up some stuff and even some people in our lives. We can and do suffer persecutions from our families and in the church. We might even be asked to leave the church. I had a friend who sat faithfully for 51 years in a big city denominational church that did not believe in the gift of speaking in tongues. One Sunday, during a service, she spoke to the Lord and she said, "God, if this is all there is, I don't want it." The Lord immediately baptized her in the Holy Ghost. And she started speaking in tongues. And when she did, a deacon came and escorted her out of the building and told her, "Go find your own kind." If you come against the culture of the religious doctrine, it is not going to be easy. Another time we were in a church where we befriended a young woman who had a hip issue. She limped and she was in pain most of the time. And many people, including me, were praying for her healing, but she left the church. I called to ask her why. Her answer? "There's just too much faith there for me." This woman had been taught that God made her with a bum hip and that she should accept it. So she did. When she got around people who began to speak truth to her, she couldn't take it. Nor did she really want to. If she were healed, she'd have to give up something she had believed all her life. Along with the attention, the disability check, and a few other benefits of her condition, including having people always helping her with everyday tasks, truth carries responsibility. This woman had unbelief because of wrong information, and she chose to live in the deception of wrong information. As far as I know, she's still living in pain, comfortable in her misery and satisfied with her life. It's easier to fix lack of knowledge than wrong information, because many people are quite satisfied with having wrong information.
When a person is simply ignorant, he can be taught truth and is more readily accepting of it than if he has been taught wrong information. It seems that everybody likes to learn, but nobody likes to be corrected.
Say that one again.
Well, it seems that everybody likes to learn, but nobody likes correction. It flies in the face of pride to have to admit we were wrong about something. However, that's the way we must be if we hope to spare the next generation the same misery of unbelief. If the church could only realize that our attitudes of unbelief do not affect just ourselves, but that they affect our children and grandchildren as well, maybe then we would be more willing to admit the deception and change our thinking and our ways. Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children.
Help us, Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want my children forgotten. According to this scripture, our friend who refused to accept the truth of God's healing power opened the door for a curse to fall on her children. God, have mercy on us. Refusing to obey the word and to act on the word results in the second form of unbelief. This is also a destructive unbelief, which causes us to fail miserably in our pursuits, even in spiritual matters, or maybe especially in spiritual matters.
Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. Jesus is speaking here of what he, and what he says is perfectly, is earth. Let me start that over, please. Jesus is speaking here, and what he says is pretty clear. Hallelujah. If you hearken and obey the word of God, you will not falter in the storms of life. If you don't, you'll fall apart. In the book of Hebrews and lots of other places, we read about the Israelites who didn't make it to the promised land. Remember, these are God's people here, but they wouldn't enter the promise. They wouldn't rest in his presence and power. They did not believe, and so they disobeyed God's word to them. He told them to go in. They said no. He said, okay, if you won't, then you can't. It's that simple. Act on God's word and prosper in blessings. Don't act on God's word and die in the wilderness. Okay. Act on God's word and prosper in blessings. Don't act on God's word and die in the wilderness. Unbelief is a thief. Hebrews 4:1-11. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The rest of God spoken of in this passage is our yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to pray for us. It is our own personal prayer language, which the book of Jude tells us builds us up in our most holy faith. Praying in tongues is a good way to overcome unbelief. Jude chapter 1, verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not.
Hallelujah. I just want to make a little comment. We've got some time here before I go on with another scripture from Jude, but entering into the rest of God, where you are fully immersed in the Holy Spirit and trusting in God and not yourself and not what you know, is a vital part of higher faith. I'm going to go on now. Jude 1, verses 17 to 21. But, beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Steps to gaining the confidence of God. Hallelujah. If you want to seal this word and move into that place of higher faith and continue going in it, hallelujah. When we keep ourselves in the love of God, praying in both understanding and in tongues, we will soon know the confidence of God and have use of his higher faith. Hallelujah. If you want to be that person, then pray this prayer with me. Again, we pray out loud. Father God, thank you for showing me.
Thank you for showing me
that the kingdom of heaven is for now.
That the kingdom of heaven is for now.
Not some future time. And I am the gate through which heaven enters earth.
I am the gate through which heaven enters earth.
You are an awesome God.
You are an awesome God.
And I exalt your name, Lord Jesus.
And I exalt your name, Lord Jesus.
Teach me to stay in constant prayer and communication with you.
Teach me to stay in constant prayer and communication with you.
Father, I want to move in the same confidence Jesus has.
Father, I want to move in the same confidence Jesus has.
Help me come into fellowship with you every day.
Help me come into fellowship with you every day.
The true fellowship of service.
The true fellowship of service.
And self-sacrifice.
And self-sacrifice.
That denotes true friendship.
That denotes true friendship.
Give me those nuggets of revelation truth in your word.
Give me those nuggets of revelation truth in your word.
Which bring me into a better understanding of my identity.
Brings me into a better understanding of my identity.
My identity in you, Lord.
My identity in you, Lord.
And the authority that I carry.
The authority that I carry.
Father, you've made me a glory carrier.
Father, you've made me a glory carrier.
And my desire is to show forth your glory acceptably.
My desire is to show forth your glory acceptably.
I want to be pleasing in your sight at all times, Lord.
I want to be pleasing in your sight at all times, Lord.
And I need your help.
And I need your help.
Perfect praise in me, Father.
Perfect praise in me, Father.
I want my life to be a praise to you.
I want my life to be a praise to you.
From the rising of the sun to its going down.
From the rising of the sun to its going down.
And even in my sleep.
And even in my sleep.
Forgive me, Father, for yielding to unbelief.
Forgive me, Father, for yielding to unbelief.
For holding on to traditions.
For holding on to traditions.
And false doctrines.
And false doctrines.
Because it was easier.
Because it was easier.
And more acceptable to others.
And more acceptable to others.
Forgive me for rejecting truth.
Forgive me for rejecting truth.
And living the lie.
And living the lie.
I turn back to you right now.
I turn back to you right now.
And I ask that any curse of unbelief be broken.
And I ask that any curse of unbelief be broken.
Teach me truth, Lord.
Teach me truth, Lord.
Guide me in truth by your Holy Spirit.
Guide me in truth by your Holy Spirit.
Have every word from my mouth.
Every word from my mouth.
Every thought in my mind.
Every thought in my mind.
Every action of my hands.
Every action of my hands.
Every step of my path.
Every step of my path.
Be your truth, Father.
Be your truth, Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, you have heard their confession of faith tonight, and I just enforce what they have said to you, Lord, what they have pledged to you, Father, that they pay their vows to you this night and every day forthcoming. I thank you, Lord, for the authority to reverse the curse, and I reverse the curse of tradition, false doctrine, incomplete information, wrong information about you, every curse that would bring or hold unbelief in their lives. I reverse those curses. I send them back to hell where they came from. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is good. Praise the Lord. If you have a comment or a question, I caught a couple things along the way as we were reading that I will expand a little bit. Comments or questions? Star 6, unmute your phone.
Your chance to be an editor.
Yeah. Well, it was either really clear or very confusing. Star six, anybody have a comment or a question tonight?
Hi, Vicki, this is Helen. I would appreciate the access number. I tried to get on until about 9:15, and I could not get on. Was that just my line? I got just music, and I just kept trying and trying, and so I stopped. And then just a few minutes ago, I thought, well, I'm going to give this another try. And what I heard in the last 10 minutes was so good. If you would send me the access number, I'd like to listen to it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I will send you the link, Helen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Can you send me the link from last week and this week too, please?
I'll do it, Marie. Last week and this week. Okay.
Love
me
every
too,
minute
please.
Of it. So good.
I did too. Thank you.
Did you say you
Let's
wanted
you
that link?
Uh-huh.
Please. Uh-huh. And it was very good. The more we hear, the closer we get to God. That's for sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes,
I love the part, too, where you ask, you know, for us to repeat and, you know, and to teach us and to come to us even in our dreams because, you know, I do ask that, and he does do that. He has been doing that a lot lately. So I really appreciate you, you know, interceding for us for that as well during this time, this teaching. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. And thank you, Mitch.
Yes, thank you, brother and sister. We're the glory carriers. Thank you, brother and sister.
Yes, we are.
Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen, amen. Years ago, Natasha had a song, Glory Carriers. Do you remember that? Well, it was amazing. It was a great song. I might have it packed away in a CD somewhere. Any other comments or questions tonight? Hearing none, I am going to ask Pastor Phil to bless us and seal this word.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We bless and honor you this evening, Father. We thank you that you are building our faith and you are strengthening our walk. And we are open and ready to receive all that you have for us, God. Thank you for kingdom living. Thank you for higher faith and greater power. Hallelujah. We worship and honor you tonight, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We give you honor. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Ask you to encamp your angels around your people this week, Lord. Give them a glorious God-filled week. Bless their coming and going. Speak through them. Shine your glory through them, Lord. Wherever they are, people are drawn to them to learn of your goodness. Hallelujah. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the children of Israel, the people of God, in Numbers, the fourth chapter. Numbers, the sixth chapter. Help me, Lord. Do it every week. The chapters in verses 24 to 26. Hallelujah. Known as the Aaronic benediction. God gave this blessing to his children. So it is for you. God bless you as received. I'll do it in Hebrew and English. We close with this on our meeting. Hallelujah. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I add in Yeshem Yeshua, the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you that it goes forth and it returns with mighty results in the lives of your people. We bless and honor you again, Father, and thank you for your word. Thank you that you are with us every day and that we can glorify you and do exploits in your name in the world today where it is so needed. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Now, here on this earth, through us. Praise the Lord. Good night, everybody. We'll be back here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. This message will be repeated Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. As you rest tonight, may the Lord bring you restoration in every part of your mind, your will, your emotions, your desires, and your physical body. Hallelujah. Good night.
Night.
Praise the Lord. Good night.
Good night. Bye now.
None, everybody. Have a good week.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you, Brother Sis.
Well,
good night, brother. God bless.